Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board today. Looking forward to the dialogue and discussion on a very important issue. We're going to be talking about today, can America return to normal? Maybe a highly subjective statement, but let me ask you the question, what is normal? How do you ascertain normality? Who decides what is normal? How is that determined? Based on what we've seen and what has been taking place so far all year, with the mandates and the directives from a tyrannical form of government that we've deteriorated to, and the Socialist Marxist Communist BLM Democratic Party, and what they are pushing to be done, and the direction that America has been forced into, will that ever be retracted, and will we ever go back to what we called normal? We'll talk about that today. Very important subject. By the way, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call gets you directly through the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have dialogue and discussion on the issue today. Let me invite you to call. We'd love to hear from you. I'd love to know if you're listening, if it's been effective in your life, and if you have questions or comments regarding the issue of the day, we invite your telephone call so that we might voice them and have dialogue and discussion on them. As we face the issues, let me remind us once again, we do so not based on political, ideological bent or denominational dogma, but based on the authoritative, written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's called the Truth Book. The truth book, the Bible, Jesus says to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8, 31 and 32. And then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am truth. He further elaborates on that and says, thy word is truth in John 17, 17. So the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God is the truth book. It is the source of truth. Anything outside of that you can have questions about, but we need not question the Word of God. We need to submit ourselves to what God's Word says. I believe that it would resolve a major portion, if not all, of the world's problems and issues in society if we'd simply turn back to God, turn back to His Word, turn back to thus saith the Word of God. In fact, a wonderful study on the Word. My bride has been teaching it in her Sunday school class now for months and months and months, Psalms 119, 176 chapters. And I believe it's a fantastic study on the Word of God, the law of God, the statutes of God. And I highly recommend that to you, to understand what the Word of God is saying and the need for it. It is through the Word of God that we have faith. Faith cometh by hearing, by idea, through the Word of God. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it tells us. But truth is what we need to be seeking. It was George Orwell a number of years ago that said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And if you don't believe that's the truth, then start talking about truth and confronting people with the deception and the beliefs that they have been inculcated with based on societal norms, and you'll understand why that is so absolutely correct. Ladies and gentlemen, the best source of truth is the Word of God, and it was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that said, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth. That means you don't listen to CNN, Communist Network News, and think it's true, or MSNBC or the others. Listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. May I commend that to you and ask you to make that as your mantra and your system of belief today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for those looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about power backup equipment as well as landscape lawn care equipment for the homeowner as well as for the professional. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic flagpole there with the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Find that flagpole, Old Glory Flying, intersection of 295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, have you ever, or do you wake in the morning, do you look up each morning and think, well, perhaps today things are going to go back to normal? Now, we have seen that in our individual lives, in our spiritual lives, in our political lives, et cetera, whatever cultural perspective or bent that you're accustomed to. I know when it's a large family with sons and daughters in the home, and as they grow up and get older, get married and move out, there is an adjustment that takes place. It's called getting back to normal. And then ultimately all of the kids have become adults. They've gotten married, moved out, and you have the empty nest syndrome, as it is called, mom and dad, husband and wife, and then that becomes the normal, but it doesn't go back to where it was. So what is normal? How do you ascertain what is normal? Is it objective or subjective? How do you make that determination? But ladies and gentlemen, we've witnessed the chaos and the confusion and the calamity that faces our nation every day. And I believe COVID-19, if we can call it that, COVID-19, the Wuhan China virus, has perhaps been the central focus that has allowed the Socialist Marxist BLM Communist Democratic Party to weaponize that and bring in fear and anxiety in America as never before. I believe it is the key cause of the total tectonic change in America and all of the attributing factors that go along with it. I know I'm looking at an article that says, according to a study, lockdowns have no impact on COVID-19 deaths. This is just one little peripheral part of getting to the subject of what is normal and will we ever get back to normal. A study comparing daily deaths attributed to COVID-19 in Sweden, New York, Illinois, Texas indicates that lockdowns have had no impact on fatalities whatsoever, end quote. Dr. Gilbert Brandine, an associate professor of medicine at Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center, assembled the data and created a chart comparing deaths per million of population. The data suggests that lockdowns have not prevented the deaths from COVID-19, he wrote in the article for the Institute. At best, he quotes, at best, he says, lockdowns have deferred death for a short time, but they cannot possibly be continued for long term, he said. It seems likely that one will not have to even compare economic deprivation with loss of life, as the final death toll following authoritarian lockdowns will most likely exceed the deaths from letting people choose how to manage their own risk and health. He concluded, after taking the unprecedented economic depression into account, history will likely judge these lockdowns to be the greatest policy ever in our history, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a pretty powerful statement. I'm making that as a precursory remark in relationship to the question, can we get back to normal? How about those, at this point, about 150,000, 160,000 suicides as a result of hopelessness and helplessness, as a result of the loss of business, the close of business, and the panic, the hysteria, the care and the fright as a result of COVID-19 and all that said on the socialist Marxist false, phony, fake news media 24/7. How about those 150,000, 160,000 that as a result of the hopelessness and helplessness took their own lives, suicide? That's almost the number of deaths as a result of so-called Wuhan, China COVID-19 coronavirus deaths. And when you analyze it, ladies and gentlemen, that according to study after study after study that I have researched, the researchers in the medical profession tell us that had hydroxychloroquine been used early on, we could have saved about 100,000 plus lives. And then you add another 50,000 plus lives that were taken as a result of New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and New York decision by the governors to transport all that were suspected to have COVID-19 into the nursing homes, and then add the few across the nation that also included in that in the nursing homes. We have almost the number, ladies and gentlemen, that supposedly have died from COVID-19. And, of course, they keep talking about the number of new cases when it's being discovered more and more in every state where we've increased the number of tests, that we've increased the number of so-called cases. But it's as a result of false, phony, fake reporting of the numbers. For example, in testing agencies that was in the state of Florida, they reported that 98% of the tests showed COVID positive. When they went back and looked at the record, they found it was 9.8%, not 98%. Someone says, well, we overlooked the decimal point. And yet that has been used to weaponize COVID-19 in our society today. So with what we've seen taking place, with what has taken place, with what has happened, can we go back to normal? Will this settle down? Will there be an end point? Will there be a time that the white-jacketed experts cease to tell us that we've got to bow, bend, and submit to the requirement of a mask, no handshaking, social distancing, and the helmets that we now are expected people to wear, the see-through helmets, that is, the goggles that now Dr. Fauci says is recommended, and the mask that is being used. We're going to talk about all of that during the course of this broadcast and let you, the listeners, determine, will we go back to normal? What is normal? How do you ascertain that? The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, if your face... BLM activists force diners in your face. BLM activists force diners to raise fists in solidarity. One of the things we're seeing linked with the weaponization of the COVID-19, the Wuhan China virus, ladies and gentlemen, coming out of the socialist Marxist BLM Democratic Communist Party, we find the BLM Marxist agenda. And their agenda is to overthrow the Constitution of the United States of America, destroy the Constitutional Republic. And ladies and gentlemen, they've been given the green light by Nancy Pelosi and the liberals and the socialists in D.C. to simply do as they please. We have been told that the rioting are simply peaceful demonstrations, but the looting, or as one thug called it, reparation, looting and rioting and burning of buildings and destroying the hope and the dreams of hundreds of thousands of people across America because they've had their business taken away by fire or by looting or destruction by the BLM. This article says, in your face, BLM activists force diners to raise their fist in solidarity. Black Lives Matter activists confront a woman at a D.C. restaurant August the 24th. A group of Black Lives Matter activists were caught on video in three separate instances harassing diners at Washington, D.C. restaurants on Monday, who refused their demands to raise their fist in solidarity. A lone woman in one video is seen surrounded by white activists raising their fist and shouting, "White silence is violence. White silence is violence." Later, they chant, "No justice, no peace." In the other video, a couple is berated because they refused to raise their fist as others have done, surrounding them in the restaurants. In a third video, a young boy is seen raising his fist as the adults around him affirm him with saying, "Good job, good job." He responds to the response to that is, "Attaboy, thumbs up, good boy." Here in this article, it further says, "We are here tonight while you're dining." This is the Black Lives Matter circling tables in D.C. restaurants. Now listen, Where are the police? What's allowing them to enter into a private business and harass the customers and demand that they go in solidarity with them? That's my question. The Black Lives Matter surround the dining room tables. And said, we're here tonight while you're dining because black people are dying at the hands of police, he said, according to a slightly edited transcript. So while you're dining, we're sorry for your inconvenience, but black people are dying today. While you're dining, we're going to read you some facts about the murder of black people. We're here tonight because Black Lives Matter. We're here tonight because Black Lives Matter to us. The group shouted, quote, if you believe that Black Lives Matter, if you believe that black trans matter, if you ask otherwise, we're going to ask you to raise your hand in the air in solidarity with all blacks and browns and murdered that are murdered by police. We demand that you abolish police. Last night, Thursday night, Black Lives Matter activists paraded through residential streets in Portland, Oregon. To wake the residents up, a similar protest took place in Seattle's Capitol Hill neighborhood, the site that was formerly known as the CHOP Autonomous Zone. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm wanting us to understand, I'm trying to set the stage for where we're going. With what has happened with the Black Lives Matter, with the black thugs, the socialist, Marxist, communist thugs that are parading the streets, burning, looting, and demanding social justice, as they're called it, demanding reparation of some kind. Can we go back to normal after that? What is normal? Can we go back to normal after we're talking about defunding police and removing police officers with the hundreds of police officers in major cities across America that's either resigning or retiring, and about several thousand of them have already done that? Can we go back to a strength of police force where we have protection in the United States of America as we once had? We're watching the movement to call it a white supremacist or a white privilege that's causing this, supposedly. Here's an article that says, congressional staffer demands complete destruction of all white men. Did you hear what I said? A congressional staffer demands complete destruction of all white men. Dateline, August 25th, 2020. A congressional staffer has gone on Twitter with a demand for the complete destruction of white men. He said, I am once again asking for the utter and complete destruction of all white men. The Twitter was sent out, later taken down, as this article says, and it's a demented position that's making that statement. But this is what we're seeing in America today. This with the Black Lives Matter, socialist, Marxist, communist agenda to destroy the Constitutional Republic and using race and the divisiveness in America with calling white people a white privileged or white supremacist, are calling us racist if we do not go along with the Black Lives Matter, socialist, Marxist, communist agenda. And we're finding that taking place across America. Where's the normality then? How do you go back to normal? What is normal? Do we really believe as a nation that we'll ever be the same as we were before January of 2020? That's my question. That's what is being challenged that I want us to understand today. Here's an article that says, Black Lives Matter rioters take over Portland neighborhood in dead of night and began terrorizing sleeping children with violent chants. Subtitle, Black Lives Matter terrorists and activists swarmed residential streets in Portland, Oregon late Thursday night in an attempt to violently rouse people from their slumber. Further in the article, it says, these protests were never about racial inequality or police brutality. They're about power, raw, naked power, being grabbed for by the global elitists, the very same global elitists that have given hundreds of millions of dollars to Black Lives Matter in exchange for their service as the useful idiots were used in the former Soviet Union, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time that we wake up and smell the coffee and understand what's taking place in America. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. The telephone number for dialogue and discussion, if you have any question about the comments, you want to challenge them, you want to agree with it, you want to ask questions about it. Is it normal? Can it go back to normal? What is normal after what we've seen in America today? The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. I pray that I'm waking you up. I pray that I'm jarring you out of the position of burying your head in the sand and thinking somehow, some way, this is going away. The Bible is very, very clear in the scripture that says that perilous times are going to come. The scripture says in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, this know also that in the last days perilous dark, dangerous, deadly, devastating, destructive times shall come. And it goes on to give the characteristics of those dark days, the perilous times. And that's where we are today, ladies and gentlemen. But may I tell us, may I remind us, that the Black Lives Matter Marxist agenda to overthrow our constitutional republic has now been given the green light. Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and about a dozen others donned some type African scarves and knelt in the Capitol Rotunda in a show of silence and a show of submission and a show of subjection to the Black Lives Matter agenda. Right here in our own city, the sheriff and the mayor, joined with the Black Lives Matter thugs, marched in the Black Lives Matter parade and joined in with showing a sense of camaraderie with that movement. We're seeing that taking place across our nation today. It's the green light, ladies and gentlemen. We've seen the rioting, the peaceful demonstrations, if you want to call it that. We've looked at the looting, as one referred to it, that was looting and robbing, and said, well, that's just simply part of the reparation that needs to happen in America. Ladies and gentlemen, we've seen blocks and blocks and blocks of our major cities burned and destroyed by vandals and thugs of the Black Lives Matter. It is destroying the hopes and the dreams and the preparation that we've seen by multitudes. Multitudes are moving out of California. Multitudes are moving out of Seattle. Multitudes are moving out of Portland, Oregon, and that part of the nation, as well as New York. They're flocking to states like Texas and Florida and other states where they can peacefully live and open their businesses. But ladies and gentlemen, it is like a cancer. It is spreading across the whole body that we call the United States of America today. We need to understand the goal and what is the potentiality of where we're going in our nation. The BLM, Black Lives Matter, is not, listen to me carefully, it is not about the pigmentation of the skin. It is not about skin color at all. Ladies and gentlemen, the BLM is not concerned about black lives. If they were concerned about black lives, they would get in on the ground floor in Chicago and Detroit and Baltimore and New York and other places across America where black lives are snuffed out by the thousands so far this year as a result of the mobs and the thugs and the Black Lives Matter operatives that's carrying out the slaying. But nothing is said about that. Nothing is said about the fact that the Planned Parenthood murder centers are primarily about 80% of them, 80% of the abortion clinics, Planned Parenthood, are in these neighborhoods where you find predominantly the black families that are living. Why is that so? Because of the eugenics and the focus of the abortion clinics is to destroy the black population in America and around the globe. That was the purpose for the setup of these clinics, Planned Parenthood. Margaret Sanger was a eugenist. Margaret Sanger had the philosophy that black people were second-class citizens and need to be removed. And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. The new approach with Planned Parenthood is to stop giving the Margaret Sanger Award each year because it promulgates and allows the public to know that all of this is fountainheaded out of eugenics background of Margaret Sanger, of which today Bill Gates is a major proponent of and is a major proponent of reducing the globe's population. We're going to talk about that later in this broadcast and how that dovetails with what we're saying about what's happening in America. And the question is, we will go back to normal. Is it possible to go back to normal as a nation? Ladies and gentlemen, we have the response to COVID-19 with the mayors and the governors overriding our Bill of Rights. Yes, you heard me right. These fiat edicts that are being handed down by mayors and governors, you've heard me say it multitudes of times in the past several weeks on this broadcast in different fashions, that they are unconstitutional, they're illegal, and unenforceable. But ladies and gentlemen, listen, some states have the remedy codified in law that if a governor or a mayor issues an executive order, in some states that executive order is good for 28 days. If it is reenacted or if it's renewed or elongated, it must be done so with the Senate and the House in agreement with it for the governor or the mayor to do that, or the city councils if it's in the mayor's position. But we're not finding that. We're finding the governors and the mayors issuing these fiat orders, executive orders, and there seem to be no end to them. Can we go back to normal if a governor or mayor can just simply by fiat issue an order, and we're supposed to submit to it. What does the future hold? How do you call America normal if it is possible for a governor and a mayor just to, by executive order, change the trajectory of where we're going in society, change the direction of what is happening in our nation? Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the stage being set for future major control of all Americans. We'll talk about how this is possible in this broadcast today. The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you have questions or comments, I'd love to hear from you. We're watching our Bill of Rights, our First, Second Amendments in particular, being taken away from us. Ladies and gentlemen, it's under the guise that they are here to protect us. Here's a massive article, and I've already read in days past parts of this article on the broadcast. It's called Unmasking the Lies and Unleashing the Truth. In this article, it says in the latter portion of the document, everything about this pandemic has been fishy from the start. I remember the lockdown was going to be for 2 weeks, and everyone agreed to it just to be safe. 2 weeks turned into 2 months, and now many states are shutting down again after they've tried to reopen. The number of cases are supposedly rising. Never mind that the numbers have always been artificially inflated from day one. And never mind the fact that the increase that we're seeing now is mainly due to more people being tested. And ladies and gentlemen, if you have more people tested, and if you have faulty tests, or if you're recording the test incorrectly, or if you're pushing for the positive test, that's what you're finding. This article further says, indeed, we now know that over and over again, people who were never tested at all are now receiving letters in the mail stating that they've tested positive and that they need to be quarantined. They need to do self-quarantine themselves as well as the report to their personal contacts. Further in this article, it says, I also remember being told a few months ago that we were going to be seeing 2 million people die in the United States within 2 weeks, so we should prepare for the worst. After many months of this fear-mongering, we now understand that only a tiny percentage of Americans have actually had COVID-19, and only 0.04 have died from it. That's the reality. But the mainstream media, the social media, and our government and health officials are desperate to keep us all in fear, all wearing masks, all social distancing, and tension continues to rise, and it's bringing about submission and subjection to their demands. Recently, this article says, when a group of doctors who work for the front line held a press conference declaring that treatment with hydroxychloroquine, zinc, and zithromycin had not only cured but also prevented people from contracting the virus, mainstream and social media couldn't censor the information fast enough. Every post on Facebook regarding this was labeled as false. The mainstream media press ridiculed these doctors, calling them frauds. I wonder why they've been so intent on doing that. If we really are in a serious pandemic, shouldn't every option be investigated? These doctors are telling us they treated hundreds of patients with these medicines and not one died. And the article goes on, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that we are faced with a tectonic change, and the question is, can we go back to normal? Will this ever be a sense of normality in America after what we have gone through and what we're watching take place today? We're asking the question on this broadcast today, ladies and gentlemen, can America return to normal? Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break at the top of the hour for our news. After the news break, we're going to come back. We're going to trickle down, as I call it, with the broader answer to the question, can we ever go back to normal in America after going through what we're seeing today? Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.